98% pure potato.
98%
pure potato. Well, welcome to the latest podcast from 98% Pure Potato. This is John Griffiths speaking. And I'm picking up on various topics from within the book, which hopefully will give you an appetite to get your own copy and read it. This topic I've picked for this week is one which I always wished people would talk about when I was a junior planner, and it never got mentioned. One of those silent topics. And we got a chance to talk about it in the book a bit. And that is the topic of life after planning. Because one of the things that very much came out of the book was that planning is a very specific function involving people at a particular stage in their career doing a particular role. There's a lovely quotation from John Medel, who's actually quoting someone else, but says, if you can't write a creative brief by the age of 28, you're never going to write one. But if you can write a creative brief by the age of 28, where'd you go from there? It's basically the same job. And he describes planning as the Michael Jackson of the jobs, because once you've grasped the basic elements of the job, you do that for a while, and then pretty much a young person is coming behind you to take on the same job. What happens after that? Well, there is obviously freelance, what I would call the Starbucks time of the career. Very attractive, because obviously there's the impression that planners can hang out in cafes, waiting for the call, having interesting chats, being brought in for a few hours or maybe a day or two a time to solve big problems, and that's great. Well, it's not quite as good as that, because planning doesn't belong to the individuals involved, however interesting the projects may seem. The function belongs to the agencies who have it, and they may use freelancers from time to time. Some agencies have clouds of freelancers around them. But what's really happening here is that the agencies have a planning capability, and mostly they keep it in-house, and there's limited opportunities for freelance planners. And the problem when you're a freelance planner is you never get as deep into the account as you want to. You're solving particular problems for particular pitches, and then off you go again. And I've said elsewhere that there's an inverse relationship between the amount of your salary and how useful your questions are. Because as your salary rises, your questions have to become a lot better and a lot more profound, and they never do. Eventually, someone who's younger and cheaper than you can ask better questions and has a lower salary. So the clock is ticking from day one. There's an irony that the more experience you get, and sometimes I've met planners who are incredibly senior, I've got fantastic levels of experience, but that's not the point. The point is being able to ask good questions and to be able to be cheap enough to be used all over an organization. So as soon as you get expensive or hugely experienced, it tends to push you towards the outside. And to do the core job still needs young, bright people, and will continue to do so. So what happens after planning? And so therefore what we talk about in one of the chapters is this rather broader role of planning, life after. And of course, we have the examples of our interviewees in the book and what they then went on to do. And my goodness, that's a whole range of interesting things that they did. And it really was very diverse what they did afterwards. There was a point of view which came from some people, which you should get out anyway, because there's a whole lot more useful things to apply planning to than advertising. And in some ways, people felt that they'd done it, they'd really enjoyed it, but they felt they'd made far more of a social contribution once they'd left the business than while they were still in it. But then the next thing was that even though that people had stopped doing their planning job as such day to day in the agencies, they hadn't stopped thinking like planners. Some people felt like they'd just put it down and they'd walked away from it, but the vast majority of the people we spoke to still felt that they were using their skill set and their experience, but they were applying it to all sorts of new areas, which were absolutely fascinating. So the real takeout from this is there is life after planning. The idea of doing that same job for 40 years is unlikely. But would you really want to? And the perception is that people who did this weren't like people who'd, I don't know, been actors for a few years and then went and became estate agents and just left it all behind. Actually, the great benefit of planning skills is how portable they are and how people find them useful when you apply these skills wherever you are and notice these very distinctive skills. And therefore, you will tend to gravitate towards work which deploys them, which keeps you motivated and keeps you doing projects which give huge satisfaction and hopefully are more useful than the ones which you started. So that's all I've got to say about Life After Planning. But as I said, it's a section of the book where we look about at a sort of what I would call hard planning or soft planning, and what follows after the specifics of the job.